நாமதுவோம்
For the insan, the most dangerous, the thing that gives the most loss, the thing that gives the most harm, is sin, the guna. For sin, guna, is so dangerous that the people who don't believe, they will go due to their crime on crimes into hell. But the sad thing will be that due to sin, the people who believe in the Quran, those who pray salah, those who keep fast, those who perform hajj, they will also go into hell. And Jahannam, hell, is the worst of all places. And there, the place in hell is for those people with whom Allah Ta'ala is not happy with and who Allah will punish. For sin, guna, in the world, in this dunya, is easy to do. Yes? To get away with it. To do it. Yes, take the biggest of sins, most of sins, high quantity of sins, and Allah Ta'ala has prepared that just once, if a person does tawbah, then all the sins are forgiven. So there's a way out, an easy way out. Allah says all the previous sins are forgiven, washed away. So easy. And Allah's given time. Allah's given so much time that until the angel of death you don't see them. Even at that time, until that time you do tawbah, all your sins will be forgiven. That's how Allah Ta'ala has let us off, given us a way out, a route. But that's how dangerous is sin. And as soon as a person dies, the door shuts after death, then this concession will go. It will disappear. Then this sin, it is such a crime, sin, that there's no place for that person to go, except such a dirty thing is sin, such a dark thing is sin, that the remedy for that, if you understand, for that insan, for the mu'min, the belief to purify himself. Yes, rather he'll be purified. The person who won't believe will be punished. Remember this point. The people who have iman, they won't be punished, they'll be purified. So that's the difference between those who have iman and those who don't. So to burn that sin, it will be sent into the fire so that that person can be purified and cleansed. So the first thing is this, brothers. People commit sins. Mistakes do take place. So what harm is there in doing tawbah? What harm is there in doing tawbah? And even then Allah Ta'ala said that after tawbah, if you do sin again, then do tawbah again. So if a person makes it a habit, then they do tawbah in the morning and do tawbah in the evening. Repent in the morning and repent in the evening, but we don't even have the tawfiq to do this. So let's make a promise today to ourselves, all those who are listening to what I'm saying, and I also to myself, that these two actions make them solid. Permanent, that when we wake up in the morning, then do tawbah, repent to Allah and wake up. Say, Allah, that I seek forgiveness for my sins. My whole day is here to come. And without sin, allow me to pass the day. When you go to your bed, especially, then don't just jump onto the mattress and then go sit down on your bed and sit down and then do dua. Allah, I've committed so many sins today, so many crimes, disobeyed, Allah, I've made a mistake, Allah, forgive me, I do tawbah, I repent to you. And Allah will forgive. That's it. So do this amal, the individual. So most dangerous of all is sin. And to be saved from the sin, to escape from sin is very difficult. We make excuses, we don't accept our sins when they are sins. This is the biggest point. That we don't even accept the sin as a sin. No, where is it? Where is it written? Then excuses, oh, I'm in a bad environment, I'm forced to do it. If I don't do this, then this won't happen. If I don't do this, then this would have happened. If I don't do this, then this would have happened. Then who are you giving loss to? Who is earning the loss? Tell me. Who are you trying to deceive? Yourself? You are preparing yourself to go into hell, that there I will be burnt, so my sins will be washed and I will be thrown into hell. That at least make a habit, at least accept that, yes, verily, I am committing sins. When a person accepts, then Allah opens the other door, mashallah. But if we don't accept the sin, then the second door doesn't open. Soon as that person accepts the sin, Allah's rahmah is so vast, Allah immediately opens the door for tawbah. Repentance. And then he does tawbah. He repents. Allah gives him the tawfiq to repent. That at least he's accepted the sin. So Allah says, then beyond that, I will allow him to succeed. I will open the path for him. So there's another method also, a very good method. Because the Sufi individuals, the walis of Allah, they research these points. That's their function. Just like a consultant, a physician, he researches on an illness or sickness, their experience, they analyze, and they look into that, they ponder, that what research should we do, and what study should we undertake, what data should we collect. The walis of Allah, same way, they think about these things, that shall I take a point out from the Quran and the Hadith so we can get the remedy. Listen carefully to what I'm saying today. Maybe it'll be beneficial for you, because I think for me, for sure, this will be beneficial, inshallah. So sin, guna. First, understand that sin is a very dangerous thing. Directly, it takes a person to hell. Doesn't matter how much salah you pray, how much you do. If you commit a sin, that's it. Then you will go to Jahannam to clean the sin. There's no chance of being saved. No chance at all. But this is the sunnah-e-ilahi, Allah's sunnah. If Allah wants, He can send everyone into Jannah. If He wants. But the law, the principle He's made, that is there. It's in existence. We can't shun that. Yes, Allah has made the law, He's made the principle. It's Allah's law. Allah is Qadir. He is the controller. But He's not forced by anyone. He's not forced by anyone. He can do what He wants. Ultimately. So if we see that to be saved from something, what does a person do? A person, he analyzes, he looks into something. What's the reason for this? I've got a headache. What's the reason I keep getting headaches or migraines? I've got pain in my stomach after eating. What's the reason I keep getting stomachache? I'm unwell. A person, he looks for the reason. When he understands the reason, then he'll understand the cure. Say subhanallah. Yeah? So if you diagnose the cause, then you'll understand the remedy, the cure. So Allah Ta'ala, through the Quran and the Hadith, a person should read Quran and Hadith and think, why does a human being commit sin? Subhanallah. Why do we commit sins? If I can understand today the reason for committing sin, then alhamdulillah, I'll save myself from sin. Then why will I commit the sin after that? Oh, this is the reason I'm sinning. Okay, that's why I'm sinning. Why should I sin? The reason is this. But we don't know the reason why we sin today. What's the reason? We don't understand the reason, nor do we think about it, nor do we analyze it. Oh, shaitan, he's made me sin, or it's shaitan's fault, etc. That this is deception. Allah says this will not succeed, this excuse. Allah has opened many doors in the dunya for us to analyze and understand our deen. Why do we commit sin? If you understand the reason today, then you will go after that reason. Okay, this is the reason why I'm sinning. Oh, I shouldn't do this. When you don't do the action, then you won't commit the sin. So, let's see what is the reason for sinning today. Why do people commit the sin? Why do they do that? We read the Quran, we read the Hadith, we listen to lectures, we listen to speeches. Even then, after all of that, we go and commit the sin. There must be a reason for this. Or is there no reason? Tell me. Yes, there is a reason that we commit sins. And we do guna. And the reason the Quran has told us. What's the reason for it? Is ghaflat. Say subhanallah. The ghafileen. Ghaflat. Negligence. Laziness. When a person is ignorant, then he commits the sin. Remember this. When a person is a ghafil, when the ghaflat overtakes a person, at that time he commits the sin. If there was no ignorance or negligence, there would be no sin. Understand the point. Understand the point. If there wasn't ghaflat, negligence, laziness, then there would be no sin. Whenever, from the smallest so-called to the biggest sin, whenever an individual commits a sin, it's due to him being a ghafil. Due to being ignorant and negligent. The Quran has told us this, that the ghafil individual, they always commit the sins. The ghaflat. So ghaflat forces a person to go towards and implement sin. Otherwise, how can it be Allah saying, don't do this? Rasulullah is saying, don't do this. We read in the Quran, we read the verse, don't do this, and we go and do that same action. Because that person's a ghafil. He's ignorant. He's asleep. He's a ghafil. How many actions you do, but all of his amal will be with ghaflat, because he's negligent, ignorant. Big sickness is ghaflat. Very dangerous sickness is ghaflat. You understand the reason? Yes, a person's lying. Why are you lying? Why are you laughing? Oh no, I'm a hafiz, I'm a qari. Yes, you are hafiz, you are qari. But you are ghafil. You are ghafil, person who reads the Quran. You are ghafil who leads the salah. Otherwise, if you were praying salah and you weren't ghafil, then why would you commit the sin? Say subhanallah. Yes, what do we say? I'm praying salah and I commit the sin. I do hajj and I commit the sins. These do happen. Why? Because sin, it has no concern with your hajj and fasting and salah. And the sin is attached to the sickness of ghaflat. May Allah Ta'ala enable me to explain to you this point. So, a person who's sick, who has got the sickness of ghaflat, doesn't matter how much amal you do, but if you've got ghaflat, then you will commit the sins. Yes, so for example, you're following a routine, that no, I prayed salah and I won't commit the sins. No, this is no guarantee. If you are ghafil, then definitely you'll commit the sins. On hajj you'll commit the sins, in haram sharif you'll fight. In Ramadan I've seen people quarreling, fighting. 10 minutes before iftar, people in haram sharif are fighting, quarreling. They're swearing at each other. Why? This was my prayer place. How did you come in and take my place where I'm praying? This is the Kaaba, Ramadan. Iftari time is close. Yes, in normal masjids, people quarrel and disputes and fight, and on fighting and quarreling, a small point, a person becomes angry. What is this? The person is a ghafil. He's negligent. He's ignorant. And if you don't cure the sickness, then how will that sickness disappear? If we read Quran, we read it just for the sake of it. We listen to hadith for the sake of it. We don't go deep. If we were to realize in the akhirah, have to be saved from Jahannam, then very carefully and cautiously we would learn the principle. We don't read the Quran for the sake of it. When we take the Quran and we hold it, we just take it for the sake of reading it, not for amal. Forgiveness. I see forgiveness. We pick up the Quran, we open the pages, and we open it just for reading. We don't open it to read it so we understand it, to do amal on it, my brothers. The Quran, when you open it, first point to think is that I am reading the Quran so I can learn and I can practice the Quran. And every verse Allah will guide you. Every verse. And the miracle of the Quran is this, that whatever is in your heart, you have a requirement, a need, you want to be improved, whatever is necessary for you, then you will start to understand that in the verses of the Quran that you're reading. Subhanallah. Yes, that's what the Quran says. It speaks to you. That if you read the Quran, no, I've read 15 juz, 3 juz, 16 juz, 17 juz, Surah Yasin. Fine, read it. But that's not the primary objective of the Quran. Read the Quran with the intention of doing amal, practicing the Quran. Yes, read just 2 pages. Even that is classic reading. But when you have the niyyah of amal, you'll get 2 thawab for reading and for amal on the Quran. Subhanallah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? So after today, when you touch the Quran, then read it for sure. Whether you're hafiz or qari or not, first niyyah should be from this verse that I'm reading. I have to learn the amal, the practice. And I'm dependent on every footstep of my life. I'm desperate to do amal on the Quran. Every footstep, like, no, oh, understand a little bit of the Quran. No, the Quran is vast. In every chapter, juz, in every incident, every example, Allah says, according to your capacity, your need, your requirements of your life, Allah has given you a message from the Quran. Yes, Allah says that automatically you'll become a better human being. Not that this Quran was for previous people, for previous tribes, previous nations. Why was this revealed and this story? That's fine. That's fine. Tasfeer, you can read it for ilm. But the objective, when you read the Quran, when you open it, understand Allah has given me a message. And definitely even this verse Allah Ta'ala sent for me. That I have done this, I've done wrong. Allah is warning me, He's admonishing me. And then the sukoon will come into your heart. Big nasiha, the Quran says that I've come to every individual who reads me to give nasiha. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying or not? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Anyway, so ghaflat, laziness, negligence, ignorance. Do you understand what I'm saying? That sin is the most dangerous thing. And what's the reason that we sin? Is because we are ghafil. And when we eliminate that disease of ghaflat, then the ability to sin will also be eliminated. So today we need to eliminate ghaflat. Ghaflat. If we eliminate ghaflat, then inshallah, then the doors of Jahannam will shut. The doors of Jahannam open with sin. Yes, so when you shut the doors of Jahannam, then your dunya is better, your akhirah will be better, you'll have beautiful sleep, you'll see nice dreams, because you won't be committing any sins from your body. Subhanallah. Okay, so we've understood this. So understood the reason, that ghaflat, being a ghafil individual, this is what we need to eliminate. And what is opposite to ghaflat? Look, you have darkness. You have darkness. Example, you have darkness. And you want to eliminate darkness. So what's opposite to darkness? When you bring that, when you bring what's opposite to darkness, what is competing with it, then the darkness will go. So what does Allah Ta'ala made? Opposition to darkness, light. Yes, you have a tube light or a bulb or electricity or matches or a candle, but you'll bring the light to kill off the darkness. When you put on the tube light, then the darkness will go. When you switch on the light bulb, the light will come. When you light the candle, then the light will come. So wherever there's a candle or a torch or a light or a bulb, will there be darkness? No, because the light is the opposite to what? To the darkness. So if you want to eliminate ghaflat, the laziness, negligence, what does the Quran tell us to do? To be opposite. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنُ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. The Quran is saying, soon as you perform the dhikr of Allah, you are eliminating the darkness, you are eliminating the ghaflat, you are eliminating laziness, and you are instilling nur into your life when you do dhikr Allah. Subhanallah. So, it's not for any reason that the walis of Allah are pious predecessors. They grabbed hold of these points. They realized that the secret behind all success is in dhikrullah. Remember, in one place, the whole Quran is full with the praise and definition and mention of dhikrullah. What's the reason for this? That Allah Ta'ala, why is He emphasizing on dhikr? Has Allah got a need for our dhikr? That Allah is in need of our dhikr, is He? Oh, servants of Allah, Allah has no need for our dhikr, for us to remember Him. What need does Allah Ta'ala have for us to remember Him? Yes, that our tongues are so impure that we are ashamed to say that we are reciting Allah's name from our tongue. It's Allah's karam, His grace, His mercy, that for His name, Allah has created that makhluk, that they don't even have an idea about sin. The angels, they are nurani, they are made from light. Such a makhluk Allah created, khas, special, select makhluk, that this is the creation that remembers Me pak and clean and pure. The wujud, they don't eat, they don't drink, no woman, no zina, no adultery, no fornication, no children. Such a makhluk, the angels, why? They're so pak and pure. Allah says, they can recite My pure name, the angels. So Allah's karam, that such people like us, human beings, were impure, who commit sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, the go. Allah says, I give you permission, that don't just recite My name. However much you want to recite My name, Allah says, I give you permission. So will the angels not be envious of us? They say, what a qawm. Allah said, the angels say, Allah, You created us for dhikr. Special, select the angels, that you, O angel, you will just say, subhanallah. You angel will just say, alhamdulillah. You will only say, Allahu Akbar. Their kalimat were apportioned to them, that you won't say more than this forever. And we, Allahu Akbar, the whole Quran, Allah says, is for you to recite. Whichever verse you like, Allah says, keep on repeating it. Allah says, select the verses you like and keep on reading them. Allah has given us permission. Kathiran kathira. Allah has given us permission. Allah says, you will get the benefit. Allah says, I am your Rabb. I have no benefit from your dhikr, Allah says. I have no benefit because you are the ummah of My Mahbub, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, I have so much love for My Mahbub, that I made the whole universe for Him. So, subhanAllah, due to your nisbat with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, for your benefit, I've given you ijazah, that you can recite My pure name, so you can purify your impure bodies. Subhanallah. So amazing. So light is opposite to darkness. What is the opposite to darkness? Light. So what is the opposite to negligence and laziness? Ghaflat. Say loudly, dhikrullah. So you've understood what I'm saying. So why do we do dhikr? You understand my point? Why do we do dhikr? Why do we get together for dhikr? Allahu Akbar. We're not favoring Allah. Oh, I'm doing zikr of Allah and I'm remembering Allah and I'm giving benefit to Allah. Allah, I'm doing zikr, I'm not getting no benefit. Are you thinking you're doing a favor for Allah by doing zikr? Allah says, it's my karam on you, my mercy on you. I've given you such a gift that there's nothing that can save you from your sins you committed. You know when shaitan, he said, I'll do this to the human beings, I'll eliminate them, I'll destroy them. Allah said, you can't do nothing. I'll give my servant such a tool, such a weapon. Shaitan, you can do what you want and attack them, but you won't make them the ghafil. What has Allah given to us? Allah says, oh shaitan, work your hardest. But whichever individual does my dhikr, then he'll escape from your trap, oh shaitan. And we don't do dhikr. No, it's bidah, innovation, it's not necessary. Thousands of excuses, shaitan's waswasa. Oh, you doing dhikr? Why are you doing dhikr? This is the cult of dhikr, it's a sect of dhikr. My friends, servants of Allah. The shaitan, look at his attack and deception on human being. A mu'min's life, every mu'min's life is remembrance of Allah. Doesn't matter what you're doing in the world, that you got kitabs, hadith, you're a hafiz, you're a Quran, you're a muhaddith, you're a scholar. Doesn't matter what path of the deen you're propagating, but how can you be free from doing dhikr? How can you be independent from doing dhikr? How can you say it's not necessary for you to do it? Can you leave dhikr in your life? Okay, leave it. As soon as you leave dhikr, then ghaflat will come. Soon as the ghaflat will come, all your amal, there'll be riyah, there'll be showing off, there'll be takabbur, there'll be smell from your amal. You'll do hajj upon hajj every year, there'll be takabbur, riyah, showing off. You'll be have all of the sicknesses inside you. Wahid only his ibadah will be accepted, who's the zakir insan. Why? Because the ghafil, he did not pray salah. Due to ghaflat, he didn't pray salah. Due to ghaflat, he didn't read the Quran. Because first he did dhikrullah, he purified himself. And after purifying himself, then he used to go towards the Quran. And the Quran used to reply to him that you have ikhlas and sincerity. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying or you don't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? See how necessary is dhikrullah? So here we realize subhanallah. We learn that that individual who does dhikr, a noor is developed within him, a quality due to doing dhikr is developed within him, due to which he is saved from sin. So here's a very important point for those who do dhikrullah. Understand this point. So first thing, every human being who's a believer should learn dhikrullah. The Quran instructs us, if you don't learn dhikr, whose loss will it be? Whose loss will it be? That the sin you will commit, then you will be burnt in Jahannam. If you learn dhikr, then inshallah you will not have the yearning, the desire to do dhikr. You won't be the ghafil insan. That's the first point to understand today. So every believer is lazim, essential, fard. Every believer is lazim. What should he do? That he needs to learn and perform the dhikr of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you should not be lazy in learning dhikr. You have to learn from the ustad, from the teacher, from the sheikh. Don't be ashamed of asking a teacher, because to be saved from Jahannam, don't be saved immediately. You see the ustad, you like him, then ask him, request him, beg him that teach me dhikr Allah. Why are you ashamed of my people? That are you ashamed? You want to go into hellfire? You want to go into hellfire? That for example, you're going, you feel like eating sweets, you go to the sweet shop, give me two laddus or give me two barfis so I can eat that straight away. For example, you're walking, you're feeling hot and you want a cold drink. You say, give me a bottle, I feel like I want to drink some cold water. You go into the shop and you see that there's lassi. Oh, yaar, give me a glass of lassi, very tasty, enjoyable. You feel like it, you do it. You feel like you do it. Oh, you're traveling today, it's a hot weather. Oh, give me mango, let's see. Oh, give me some mango so I can eat them. You feel like it. So at that time, you're not ashamed. So yaar, I want to be saved from hellfire. Oh, Wali Allah is in my locality. Let me learn dhikr from him. Who is stopping you from doing this? Shaitan and nafs are stopping you. No, let him go into Jahannam. Don't let him go towards dhikr. Dunya things we want, we do them because we feel like it. But here we say we don't feel like doing dhikr. That today, there should be, every individual should not leave without learning dhikr. It's not my benefit. Whose benefit is it? It's your benefit. Because if you are ghafil, if you learn dhikr today, then you will come out of the circle of the ghafileen and you will become amongst the dhakireen. What a big contrast and change. Subhanallah. That immediately the angels will write that he's a ghafil, he's a ghafil, he's a ghafil. He doesn't do dhikr. Whoever doesn't do dhikr is a ghafil. Doesn't matter how hard you try. Nothing will take that person far from ghaflat except for dhikrullah. The whole Quran and hadith, I'm telling you, in the light of the Quran and hadith. That whatever, for example, for thirst, Allah has made water. That if you drink water, only water can quench the thirst. There's some other liquids you will drink, but when you drink two sips of water, the coolness, because Allah has instilled the quality into water, that it quenches the thirst. So whatever Allah Ta'ala has instilled a capacity or quality into that, then it gives that effect. Allah's put the effect in his dhikr that it takes a person far from ghafla. A little point I'll explain so you understand. That for example, how does dhikr take a person away from ghaflat? What is it, what quality is instilled in you when you do dhikr that you go far from laziness and negligence and you go far from sin? What's a special quality Allah has instilled in dhikrullah? Shall I explain this to you? So in dhikr Allah has instilled a special quality that takes a person far from ghaflat, laziness, negligence and then therefore far from sin. What is that quality? Allah says, in dhikr there's a special quality that when a human being does dhikrullah, when he remembers Allah, who does he remember? He's remembering his Rabb, his Lord. So where does his attention go? Towards Allah. So when Allah says that do dhikr kathir, that when a person does dhikr kathir, high quantity, then constantly he's focusing on Allah. This is the quality of a dhakir. Constantly he's focusing on Allah. So dhikr doesn't mean, so here's a small point I'll explain to you. La ilaha illallah is in dhikr. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel is in dhikr. Listen to this carefully. Doing the tasbih is not dhikr. Yes, if you're running the tasbih, I'm doing dhikr, I'm not getting any benefit. I do this many kalamat, this is not dhikrullah. What is dhikr? What is remembrance of Allah? Listen carefully. The dhikr, this is wasila. La ilaha illallah is the wasila to dhikr. Hasbunallah is the wasila. It's not dhikr itself. What is dhikr? Dhikr is the name that every second, every atom of his within his body is focusing on Allah. He's paying attention to Allah. Say subhanallah. So a person when he's constantly, whilst he's doing dhikr, Allah, 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 and his heart is attached to Allah. How? When you are focused and thinking about Allah and his nafs is forcing him to do dhikr, that look at this woman, look at this girl. But because he's remembering Allah constantly, immediately you're thinking in his heart, no, Allah's watching me, Allah's watching me. I cannot look at this female. Subhanallah. So the true dhakir will never commit the sin. And true dhakir will never commit the sin. If whilst doing dhikr constantly, that you want to do sin, immediately you think about Allah. You say, no, Allah's watching me, yaar. No, Allah's watching me. Allah is there closer to me than my jugular vein. That Allah is watching me, Baba, I can't do this, what you're saying. No, this is the definition of dhikr. Constant awareness of Allah. So la ilaha illallah is the means to you to do dhikr. So when you're doing dhikr, don't think I'm doing dhikr, I'm getting benefit. 100% you will get benefit. 100% you will get benefit. But if your heart 100% is not solid and regular. So to do dhikr, kathir means that in a nice way, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance and Allah, and thinking about Allah and the awareness of Allah is absorbed into your nafs is saying, oh, do fraud, take this person's money, or swear this person. But because you're remembering Allah regularly, the question doesn't arise that you'll commit the sin. As Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he was on a journey, and quite a few times I've told you this, as Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he was on a journey, and once, when he was passing by a place, and he saw that there were some sheep grazing, herding, there was a shepherd, he was shepherding the goats. He said, okay, let's go and take some milk from his goats. So he went, he asked him a question. He said to the shepherd, he was a buddhu, nomad, he said, give us these goats and we'll give you some money and we are on a journey, we'll take the milk from these goats and they'll become our goats. He said, no, I can't give you the goats because I'm just herding them. I am working, I'm just working for somebody. That person replying to such a great sahabi. And how does he know that he's a companion? He said, listen carefully what I'm saying. He said, we'll give you some money. We're buying them. We're not taking them. We'll buy them from you. He said, no, how can I sell them to you? That I'm just a worker. I'm an employee. I'm just shepherding these goats. I don't have permission. I can sell them and take the money. He said, yaar, I'll tell you the way. So then in his heart came a thought, I'll test this person. Let me test this person, Jamal. So what was he testing? Rather, he wasn't testing him. They wanted to deliver the message to us people that you people who are like animals in the world, these all events of the Sahaba for our benefit. He said, look, what we'll do is I'll give you the money for these goats. We'll take the goats. And that, for example, the wolves, they'll eventually eat these sheep, won't they? He said, don't they? He said, yes, the wolves. He said, when you go in the evening and your boss asks you, your employer, that I don't know, maybe the wolves have eaten these goats and there are a few less. Yes, so we will get the benefit and you will also get the benefit. And what was the answer that person, the shepherd gave? He wasn't a sahabi, he didn't have such high status. But mashallah, look at the great generation, golden generation he was in. What a great generation. So he replied, the shepherd, he said, what are you saying? What a weird thing you're saying. Who are you? He said, I give you the goats. He said, okay, you're saying this and I'll go back and maybe my boss is not watching, my employer is not watching. But Allah, where's Allah? Allah's watching me, isn't he at the moment? What answer will I give to Allah? So this is the benefit of dhikrullah. This is the definition of dhikrullah. Your nafs is saying, that swear this person, or be angry with this person, or destroy this person, or be this person, subhanAllah, by the dhakir. Immediately his attention will be towards Allah. You say, Allah is watching me. How can I do this action, subhanAllah? You say, no, I can't do this action. For this reason we do dhikrullah. Dhikr is the means. The reason we do dhikrullah is that in our heart, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance is absorbed and penetrated, such that when you are invited towards sin, your nafs is inviting towards sin, your children are telling you to do sin, the people around you are telling you to sin, forcing you to do sin. Whether it's a small or big sin, you have to swear someone, take someone's money, or be rude to someone, or hate someone, whatever is sinful, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. Immediately, as soon as your hands go towards the sin, say, oh, what answer will I give to Allah? This is the dhakir inside. If we create this feeling inside us, then that person is the true dhakir. And to attain this quality, alhamdulillah, a person should make effort and try. So there are two things. Do dhikr kathir, and also take hold of the company of your shaykh as much as you can. Two reasons. So with the shaykh, kunu ma sadaqeen, Allah says in the Quran. Allah says, if you want to develop yourself and improve yourself, two things you need to do. Dhikr kathir and sohbat of your shaykh, company of your shaykh. And compare yourself, that have I developed the good qualities inside? Am I better? Am I improved? MashaAllah is a dhikr jama'ah, and they invite people to dhikr. So you need to see that are these two qualities within me? Can I suppress my anger for the sake of Allah? Do I stop my tongue while I'm about to swear? When I sit in the darkness and I open my phone and look at the screen and I start to sin, do I stop that? Nafs forces me. Does my hand stop pressing the buttons and the screen? Or when you're about to oppress someone, or when you're about to be angry with someone, do you stop your hands? If these qualities you are developing due to doing dhikr, then mubarak, congratulations, you are dhakir. You are included amongst the list of the dhakirin, that Allah Ta'ala has included those qualities. But remember that when you start walking along a path, then eventually you'll get to the destination. If you've taken the tasbih and you go sobat of your shaykh, then Allah's promise that before death, I will make you the dhakir for sure. Because you have embarked on that journey. Allah says, I will enable and help you on that journey. Don't worry about it. But Allah says, I've told you that we need to attain this destination end point. We need to develop these emotions, feeling alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Allah has given us a tasbih in our hands. Allah has given us a shaykh, a teacher, a tariqah, a method. The rest, then never leave this path. Never leave a U-turn. Doesn't matter, shaitan, waswasa, nafs. 100% you're on the right path. And the result for this is azim. The result for this will be that you won't leave this world as the ghafil, lazy, negligent Muslim. I'll tell you a beautiful statement of who? As a Mujaddad al-Afghani, rahmatullahi. As a Shaykh Ahmed Farooqi Sarhandi, sahab rahmatullahi, as a Mujaddad al-Afghani. And I will share with you one of his statements that's written in his maktubat. He said, oh people, subhanallah, great wali of Allah is called. He said, oh people, that whoever has got a connection with my silsila, has a Mujaddad al-Afghani Ramdullah said, I promise to you, whoever gets bayah in my silsila, I promise you that inshallah Allah will give Jannah to those people who have a nisbat with this silsila. Why? Because this dhikr has such an effect, such a power, that if you do dhikr and continue to do dhikr, then ghaflat will not come to you. Negligence will not come to you. You won't extend your hand towards sin. Always you will try to save yourself. Opportunities will come and attraction will come. But when you have the dhakir qualities, then you will remember Allah at that time and say, no, Allah is present. How can I commit this sin? So Allah Ta'ala has given us tasbih, He's taught us dhikr, He's given us a shaykh, He's given us a teacher. And those who don't have a shaykh, I do dua that may Allah open their eyes. Because they're living the life of ghaflat. The Quran says this, they're in deception. They're living the life of fraud. The path Allah Ta'ala has defined, only they are the paths of Jannah. Only through those paths you can get to Jannah. You can't say, oh, I can do this, this and this. Everything that takes to success, every amal, every ibadah is based on a principle. You have to follow the principles. Don't mix things. Don't contaminate. Do this, you're successful. Do that, you're successful. No. Follow the tariqah, the method, the principles that you learn in the company of the walis of Allah. They put you on the right track with the right niyyah, with the right intention. And they make practicing Islam easy. And with ease they take you to the end point, the destination. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Very beautiful point, valuable point that I presented in your service today. I thought about this. May Allah give me the tawfiq to practice this. I repeat and summarize again. The most dangerous thing in our life is sin. And sins are committed at that time when a person's lazy. And what's the cure for laziness? Dhikrullah. Subhanallah. Dhikr of Allah, when a person does dhikr, the noor and the good qualities come to a person, the always, constantly he's aware of Allah, he's thinking of Allah, he knows that Allah is present, Allah is watching me, he'll be unhappy with me, angry with me, how can I commit a sin? And this emotion overtakes a person, when this emotion overtakes a person, then alhamdulillah he starts to save himself from the sin. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sayyidu rushan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidu wa-salamu ala shafi'i wa-salamu ala sayyidu 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 wa-salamu ala يا شافي المراد اشفى مرادنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرادنا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله